Support comes from Missouri Forest Products Association, committed to sustainable and sound conservation of the state's forests, which support more than 41,000 Missouri jobs, resulting in a $10 billion industry. Choosewood.com.
It's Thursday, April 25th. This is The Gateway. I'm Abby Larico. A recent article in a national publication has St. Louisans talking and taking another look at downtown. What can other cities, including in our region, really learn from the so-called downtown doom loop?
You have somebody who's coming in and who is experiencing our city. This is what they're seeing. This is what they're hearing. This is what it feels like to them. And that is, in and of itself, a valid perspective.
People are talking about it, but what's being missed in that conversation? I sit down with economic development reporter Eric Schmidt. Missouri lawmakers have passed legislation that stops state funding from going to abortion providers or their affiliates. As St. Louis Public Radio's Sarah Kellogg reports, yesterday's vote comes as proponents of abortion rights are collecting signatures to put the issue on the state ballot.
Members of the Missouri House voted 106-48. It now goes to Governor Mike Parson. The bill bars any state funding from going to abortion providers or their affiliates. This means that Planned Parenthood locations in the state would not receive state reimbursements for services provided to Medicaid patients. Representative Carrie Engel referenced the current petition seeking to enshrine abortion rights in the Missouri Constitution and said the bill would be irrelevant come November.
It won't matter because women of this state are going to come in full force and demand their rights back from the body that stripped it of them.
The deadline to collect the necessary signatures to put the issue on the ballot is May 5th. In Jefferson City, I'm Sarah Kellogg, St. Louis Public Radio.
This week, Bi-State Development hosted two public meetings seeking feedback on the proposed north-south Metrolink expansion called the Green Line. The 5.6-mile project would connect Chippewa Street to Fairground Park and come with a price tag of over $1 billion. Gravois Park resident Charity Powell says she supports more robust public transportation, but wonders if this project is the correct move right now.
I just feel like we're putting our priorities out of whack. Like, we should invest in the community and then bring the train down instead of we build it and they come and they don't come and now we've thrown away money.
Powell says she would like to see more resources into her community, like grocery stores, before a new train line. There will be another public meeting on the proposed Green Line next Tuesday via Zoom. The top two officials at Webster University received six-figure performance bonuses last school year as the school faced a rising deficit. As St. Louis Public Radio's Lauren Brennecke reports, the school rewarded them while struggling with financial problems.
Chancellor Elizabeth Strobel received nearly $1 million in compensation in 2022, including a $174,000 bonus. The tax documents also show that President Julian Schuster received a $153,000 bonus, even as the school lost more than $5 million that school year. Webster student Luke Adams says he's concerned the university is spending too much on executive compensation, while students don't have all the classes they need.
Genuinely gutting the humanities department and all the while paying this one individual such an obscene amount of money.
Strobel and Schuster received votes of no confidence from faculty in September. University officials announced that Strobel will retire in June. I'm Lauren Brennecke, St. Louis Public Radio.
School counselors, psychologists, and nurses in Illinois say there aren't enough of them, and things are getting worse. State lawmakers were told more students need mental health services following the COVID-19 pandemic. Dr. Jyothi Kaloja is a school psychologist in Rockford.
It's hard because my door is usually a revolving door, and students aren't necessarily going to be serviced for that. I do check-ins as much as I can, and sometimes it's just more of a crisis intervention support system because we don't have enough hands.
Kaloja says the problem is compounded when people leave due to the stress of being overworked. She and the other speakers offered a number of potential solutions, including loan forgiveness for school psychologists who work in underserved areas. An article published this month in the Wall Street Journal put St. Louis in the national spotlight. with a dark warning. Beware the doom loop. It points to empty office buildings and shuttered restaurants, calling downtown a real estate nightmare. It cites University of Toronto findings that downtown St. Louis was the slowest American or Canadian city to return to pre-pandemic activity, based on cell phone data. This week, the university retreated, now saying its data can't actually offer a conclusive comparison. But the depiction of the city in that original article still has people talking. So I asked St. Louis Public Radio's economic development reporter, Eric Schmidt, about the response from local leadership.
It's interesting. I think we've seen a lot of public responses that say this story misses a lot of the great strides that we've made and point out a lot of the activity that that is happening that might not be captured by cell phone data. You know, another good point to look at would be sales tax receipts, which are doing pretty well. Mm-hmm. That means that people are spending money, and that if people are spending money in businesses that are in St. Louis's downtown, that means that people are there. Mm. On the other hand, I think that it's a very clear wake-up call to say this deserves even more of our attention. Wow, look at St. Louis. It's so empty. These buildings are deteriorating. They're stripped of copper. It's gross. They're rotting. There's crime. And this is what other American cities have to look forward to if they don't figure out how to turn something around. At the very bottom of the article, the reporter does get into some of the ways that the Downtown West neighborhood, which is not incorporated in that, like University of Toronto data, how that neighborhood where, people would know that that's where Union Station is, that's where the soccer stadium is, that part of the city has seen a lot of resurgence and growth in the past few years. Mm-hmm. So it says, hey, look, this is working, but it's not downtown.
That seems to be one of the issues a lot of people are taking with it, is that the definition of downtown is quite restricted.
Yeah, well, I think a lot of it comes down to how the city's own neighborhood map defines it. Everything west of a certain point in like kind of the middle of downtown, if you're here colloquially, like if I say, where's the soccer stadium? Probably nine times out of 10, people are going to say, oh, it's downtown.
Downtown.
Not, some people might say, well, it's downtown, but it's technically in the downtown West neighborhood, but they're kind of one and the same.
Moving back recently, I feel like it's a great time to be back in St. Louis with all of that positive growth that was even mentioned in this article. It just wasn't labeled as being considered downtown. But you do also hear from a lot of folks in the outside areas, I don't go downtown anymore, and it's sad because it's not what it used to be.
There needs to be the ability for entertainment, restaurants, and other things. Mm-hmm. I think that one of the things that stuck out to me in this Wall Street Journal article was how a St. Louis sandwich shop.
St. Louis bread sandwich shop, part of the Panera chain is how they put it, which obviously is a bit of a signal that this is not written by a St. Louis native.
Yes, exactly. But okay, so that store closes and, it was really holding together the neighborhood, except for in the past 4 years, at least, there are three new restaurants that I point people to in downtown that are all immigrant run, mm-hmm. immigrant owned, that are phenomenal. And so you look at, say, okay, a chain restaurant closed, whereas there are new ventures there by people who are planting a flag and saying, this is where I want my business to be.
The Wall Street Journal article is kind of framed as this warning to other cities. Mm-hmm. But it sounds like you see it as a warning to the residents of the region as well.
I think it's a little bit of both. Even if you and I or other people here choose to say it misses a handful of things, the reality is there are many people who come and visit St. Louis every single year, and if this is what they're seeing in the central part of our city, then that is a problem.
Eric Schmidt, you're the economic development reporter for St. Louis Public Radio. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me.
Our Jonathan All edited that piece. St. Louis Public Radio is a listener-supported service of the University of Missouri St. Louis. Music by Ryan McNeely of Adult Fur. I'm Abby Larico. Thanks for listening, and have a great day.
Support comes from the Missouri Forest Products Association, providing more than 41,000 jobs in the production of wood pallets, railroad ties, white oak barrels, hardwood floors, and more. Details at choosewood.com.